Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. The reason why I put this here is because I like to be close to the church. It looks like when you're up there, people look like more important than what they are. So I like to be close to all of you. You mind if you stand also, we can have a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I am nervous, but at the same time, I'm so happy to be here. Please dress me with your Holy Spirit. And dress each and every one of us with your Holy Spirit so that we can see your glory. Use me in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Once again, join me in Matthew chapter 15. Verse 14. I know most of you are familiar with this, and I'm glad that this presentation about the blind. I'm just glad that. They put that there, and let me tell you why. Let's read this first. Let them alone. That's Jesus talking. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall what? Fall into a ditch. You know, if Jesus had come right now and said exactly what he said there, we would say to him, no, Jesus. Because we saw the blind doing what? Even what? Shooting the arrows. And we didn't see anyone fall. Wouldn't you say that to Jesus? You know, when I used to live in New York, I used to love to just walk in New York. And there is a place by 23rd Street, which is for the blind. It's the Institute for the Blind. And I used to see blind people, two by two, sometimes three by two, sometimes even four. One blind leading what? The other blind. And I never saw them fall in a ditch. So Jesus was wrong. Right? Come with me. I know that if I would have said that to Jesus, if I would have said that to Jesus, Jesus would have said to me, come, Ulysses, I want to explain something to you. Because I never saw any ditch on the street of New York. But come to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. This is very exciting. Proverbs chapter 23. And this will explain why Jesus used the expression a blind, what? Falling into a ditch. And the question is, what is a ditch or a pit? What is it? Okay, so Proverbs chapter 23, verse 27 and 28. Listen to what Jesus said here, or Solomon says. For a whore is a what? A deep ditch. A what is a big ditch? A whore. So Jesus wasn't talking about what? A whore. It says that what? A whore is a what? A deep one. And he continues. And a strange woman is a what? A narrow pit. Verse 28 explains it why. She's also lying in what? In wait for prey. And increases what? The transgression among men. Now, we know in Revelation chapter 17, there is another what? A whore. And if you go to Revelation and read it, because I'm not going to read it a lot because I know some of you know it. But when John is looking at it, he says, he writes and says what? And one of the four angels, which have what? The four vials, or the seven vials, came unto me and talked to me, saying unto me, come and I will show you the sentence against the whom? Against the whore. That what? That seated upon what? Come on, help me. Upon many water. So the whore, now we saw that it says what? That this whore increases the transgression among men. And now in Revelation chapter 17, it says that what? That this whore is sitting upon what? Many water. And he also says that she commits fornication with whom? With the kings of the world. Now, and at the same time, it says that she makes people drunk with the wine of her fornication. The question to you that I ask you, if that's the case, should you know what the whore is doing? So you want what? Fall in the ditch. That's the reason why the title of it is what? Do not fall in the ditch. Not on, in a ditch, but in the ditch. If you go back to Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon talks about another whore. And he says that she comes and conquers a young man. And this young man goes after her because she's what? I got to read some of these verses because it's very interesting. Once this young man goes after her, look what he says here. If you want to read it with me, it's Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23. Chapter 7. Starting verse 21. Without much speech. Or fair speech. Come honey. I got this for you. I got that for you. And he melts. Right? It says, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goes after her straightway as an ox goes into a slaughter. It continues. Verse 23. Till a dart strike through his liver as a bird hastes into the snare. And know not that it is against his life. And then verse 26, excuse me. For she has cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men has been slain by her. And what? Her house is the way to hell, going down to the what? To the chamber of death. Again, the pit, the ditch. I want to ask you a question. How was it possible that the antediluvian became anti-Christian? How was it possible that the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah became anti-Christian, anti-God? The Roman Empire became anti-Christians. If you study the French Revolution and what transpired in the French Revolution, they became godless. They were so daring that they decided to make the law of God void and put their own laws that they call it the human rights. Have you ever heard of human rights lately? How is it possible that America, the bastion of freedom, is becoming faster and faster anti-Christian? Have you ever asked that question? How is it possible that in America, every day, basically, every time, the freedom of the people are taken away? As a matter of fact, I would dare to say that we have no freedom in America anymore. The only freedom, listen to what I'm going to say, the only freedom we have in America is to have sex. Do you agree with me? No matter how you do it, and no matter who you do it, you can do all of that. Hollywood is full of that. By the way, that's the reason why I don't like to watch movies. Because what we contemplate, that's what we want. Come on, help me. By beholding, you what? You become changed. The question that we have to ask, how is it possible that America has become to that point? Because the whore of Revelation is what? Is involved in it. If you read Revelation, again, chapter 17. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 17. And let's read verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. And the beast that what? That thou saw it. Help me out, folks. And the beast that what? Is what? Was and is not and shall ascend where? Out of the bottomless pit. Here it goes again. And this is what bothered me, folks. Not only she ascended out of the bottomless pit, but it also says that it will go into perdition, and they that dwell where, and the earth shall wander, whose name are not written where? In the book of life. Folks, we have a responsibility. Because they behold the beast. By beholding you what? You become changed. I'm going to have to step out of the box. And I need to explain something to you so that you can understand why the Catholic Church is so successful in bringing everything that you see. And hopefully this model that I'm going to show to you, you can take it with you, and everywhere you are, you can say, "Who? The whore is there." I'm going to start. I got to get something here. Excuse me. I need to explain this to you, because when I was in college, I used to study all of this stuff, and now that I know the Bible, Now I go back and I say, whoa, I was so blind. Who was leading me? I was where? In a ditch. In a pit. Please, folks, try to understand. This is going to be like a class. Once again, if you understand this, okay, you can understand what's going out there. What's going on? Why all the institutions are changing? Why even the Protestant churches have changed so much that they cannot even recognize themselves? And by the way, even us, Seventh-day Adventists, have you noticed that there's strife in the Seventh-day Adventists, factions in the Seventh-day Adventists? Because what you're going to understand over here. Let me explain. Hegel, Friedrich, was a philosopher. He was a philosopher. And he came up with an idea because he heard other philosophers. He came up with an idea. He says, in order to change societies, we have to come up with this motto. It's very simple. His paradigm, his explanation, his method, he says the following. Look, society are composed of two things. Number one, a thesis, and then he says an antithesis. The pros and cons, basically, that's basically what it is. I'm trying to make it as simple as you can. I can. But when you have the thesis and the antithesis, okay, you have a dialect or dialogue, okay? And the thesis and the antithesis, what they do is they fight with each other, okay? But in a civilized manner, he says, okay? And so they argue, and they continue arguing until... This is the dialectic. Until you get what? The result, the synthesis. Okay? Now, so he says, you have to apply that to every institution in the world. And if you do, you're going to come with the result of what? Synthesis. And folks, you know what synthesis means? Compromise. Have you heard the word compromise in Washington? Have you? I'm getting ahead of myself. But you're getting the point, right? Good. Good. So now, Karl Marx jumped on it and said, ooh, the synthesis and thesis and antithesis. Karl Marx, who is called the father of communism. Guys, you gotta listen to this. You gotta listen to this because this is important for you. Okay? Because you're gonna be the leaders of the world and you gotta let people know about this. Okay? So now, Karl Marx says, okay, so the thesis are the people who have nothing. The workers. Have you heard that? Okay? And the antithesis are what by the way, he calls it the proletariat. It's hard for me to pronounce it. Proletariat. Those are the workers. And he said, and the antithesis are the what? The one that got money. The bourgeoisie, as they used to call it. Okay? And he said, look, the dialectic, in order for us to get rid of the antithesis, the... How many of you have money? So you are in this group, the antithesis. Okay? We have to use revolution. We have to use force. We have to clash and get rid of them. And then we're going to have what? The synthesis of utopia. Everybody's happy. Everybody has everything. Okay. You understood that? Everybody understand that? Good. So I'm going to continue. And by the way, Hegel heard of another philosopher called John Locke. Have you ever heard of John Locke? John Locke said, look, children are like a blank slate. And then another philosopher, I don't know his name, he said, a blank slate. What we have to do with the children, put what? Write on that blank slate whatever we want. You get the point? Good. You understand? You understand? Good. I want them to understand because it's important to them. Now come Antonio Gramsci. Antonio Gramsci was a philosopher, political man in those days. He was Catholic. And he said, Karl Marx, that won't work. Revolution clashes, it will work only for a while. Because men, by the way, Karl Marx says that man was immanent, meaning he was material. And this Hegel said, no, man is transcendent, he's a spiritual. So when Antonio saw what Karl Marx was doing, he said, no, wait. Man is transcendent, but this will work only for a while. Revolution clashes, when you force people, eventually they're going to what? They're going to get mad and then they're going to throw you out. That doesn't work like that. What we have to do, then he came up with a subtle blueprint. He says, look, we got to continue with the antithesis, the thesis and the antithesis, the same. The dialectic, the way to get there, right? We have to maximize the inner man. Maximize the inner man. You understand? So maximize the inner man, and then we're going to what? I write out a synthesis, which is hegemony. And hegemony basically means the control of what? Of all the countries. Whoa. Okay, he's going to give you, okay, Antonio Gramsci, he's going to give you how he's going to accomplish all of that. Okay? So he says, first of all, we have to conquer the mind of the civil society. How do we do it? Change the Marxist culture. Communism. Don't be tough. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't kill. No, don't do that. What we have to do is, we have to come with national consensus. Have you heard that word in Washington? Compromise and consensus? Good. It comes from all of this, folks. We have to talk about unity, pacification. Have you heard of unity? Good. I'm glad that you're getting it. Now, we have to behave like what? Democratic society. And we in the United States, they're looking like us. Remember what the prostitute said? Come. I got this, I got that. Jesus is out there. He's not listening to us. You get the point? Good. Okay? So, now he said, this is what we have to do. We have to do lobbying and voting. We have to be accepting all the political parties. So what? You got to act like what? Like democratic society. Forging alliances. Do friendships. Defend pluralism. Defend what? What's pluralism? Help me. What's pluralism? Guys, what's pluralism? Huh? Plural? More than one. In other words, I should not be an individual. We should be collectively what? Together. Folks, remember, if I say something about political whatever, I'm not into politics. However, when Barack Obama became president, One of the first trips he took was to Egypt. And the only word that I remember him using, ek pluribus unum. Ek pluribus unum. We are one. Defend what? Pluralism. Oops, excuse me. Defend pluralism. We are all one. We are all one religion. You cannot be so to the right. You getting the point? Now, pay attention to this now. Now he says, we have to eliminate what? Christianity. Change the Christian mind. The forms, the activities, the expressions. You understand what's going on? How are they going to accomplish this? He continues to say, turn it into its opposite. In all its details, they will turn from Christian to what? To what? Antichrist. See how serious this is? It continues. Now this is what he's going to use. Antonio says, we have to do. Make sure they concentrate on what? Life problems. Oh, the Muslims are doing this. And a lot of killings. What am I going to do? I'm afraid. You get the point? I'm sorry that I'm being dramatic, but I need for you to understand the danger that you and I are in. The Muslims are coming. It's not the British anymore. Life problems. Now, listen to this. Void of what? Of God's laws. So, make sure that the United States concentrate on the problems and the Ebola, whatever is happening out there, and the killing, and the cop killed this one, and everything is crazy. And the economy is going down, but they don't talk to you that there is a savior. They don't talk to you that God can what? Maintain you and me. Because when you don't have God, by the way, if you go to Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20, I think it's verse 20, the last verse since you were writing, it says that the wicked are like the troubled waters. And they throw a lot of dirt, and they have no peace. Okay? And you know why they're, and I read it, I think it was this morning, Psalm chapter 7, I do not recall the verse, but you can read it. It says that when God hides the face from the wicked, they are troubled. So you will see why the whore is doing what she's doing. The whore wants you to concentrate on the problem without God. Because if you concentrate on the problem without God, you're going to what? Seek for help, and you're going to become desperate. Okay. But now, remember the French Revolution? They came up with what? Their own, what was it called? I forgot right now. But anyway, the human rights, the human rights. So, life problems, void of God, but let's talk about men's dignity, men's rights, and the human rights. What does the United Nations talks about? Human rights. Folks, it has come to a point that what does the Lord of God says? The fifth commandment. You recall the fifth commandment? Honor the father and your mother and so on and so. And now in human rights, children have more rights than what? It got into a point that if you punish your kids, some of them say, I'll call the police on you. Because, oh, we got to protect the children. And of course, I'm not going to get into you know, or the abuses. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about correcting your child. Okay? Now, the weapons that we're going to use. We're going to penetration. We're going to use media. We're going to use education. I got to stop for 1 minute here. I got to make a parenthesis. My son is in public school. Trust me, I don't want him to be in public school. Right now, the situation is that I got to have him there. But the education, listen to me, all of you, listen to me. The parents, listen to what I'm going to say. If you forget everything that I have said, please listen to what I have to tell you. Grandparents, the education that they have employed in the United States for almost 100 years is for your child, your children to be conform to the state. Don't say amen for that. On the contrary, I know what you meant. What you're saying is true. I'm sure you heard of Common Core. Common Core, Common Consensus. They are making your children be robot. And by the way, the education that they are using now is the same education that the Prussians used. Remember, Prussia was Germany then, right? They lost the war because Napoleon came and destroyed them. And you know what happened? They said, we lost the war because the soldiers they were thinking for themselves. So they came up with a model. And they came with the education so that every child in Germany, okay, became what? Conformed to what? And that led to what? Second World War II. And what happened was the mind of the people were what? Brainwashed, let me put it that way, you see. And those soldiers, they did what they had to do because they were what? They were trained from where? Now, if you have your child in school, public school, do what I'm doing with my son. By the way, Josiah is complaining because when he goes to the library, he gets a book. The librarian tells him, no, that's too hard for you. Here, you cannot go beyond that. And I tell him, don't worry about it, just don't get books there. We're going to have our own books. Because they got to keep you. See what I mean? Because if you study the Bible, if you study Ellen G. White's books, if you study history, your mind expands. And when your mind expands, you can create. When your mind expands, you do good business. And nobody can control you. But the whore of Revelation wants to control you. Remember the Dark Ages? What happened? Hey, I know it's time to go, but how many of you are hungry? I'm hungry too. Bear with me just a few more minutes. After the Dark Ages, we have what? An explosion of what? Of light. So we're going back to the Dark Ages because the whore says, you know what? We got to control them. We got to control them. So what you got to do with your son, with your daughter, with your grandson, sons and daughters, sit them down. We are reading the Great Controversy, and we are reading about the Waldenses. At the beginning, he was, oh, Daddy, man. Now he started loving it. And now he started asking questions. So I made sure he got to know. Now, when he becomes a man and he wants to choose what he wants to choose, I let him choose. Do I need to explain myself further? Now, let's continue with this. Education. We can talk about, if you have questions, whatever. But anyway, human rights. Eventually, what's going to happen is that some people who do not believe in this or do not care about this, guess what? They won't have any rights. Because everybody has to have the same. Okay? Now, and of course, we have to destroy the family units. The political party structure, we have to disintegrate them. It's like the yin-yang. You heard of the yin-yang? Black and white? What do you have in Washington now? You have what? The right and the left. And they argue. And then they come and say, we have a compromise. What we're doing is we're destroying you. But you don't know it. Because you are watching so much stuff. You're watching baseball, you're watching football, you're watching basketball, and you're watching Hollywood movie, and we are here behind doing everything we can to give the power to the beast. Now, I'm going to finish with this now. Vatican II. Pope John 23 saw the potential of what Friedrich Hegel said and Antonio Gramsci. And Vatican II, John 23 says, we got to change. And the Protestant churches say, oh, they're changing. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? And remember, because before that, Catholic were not what? No, I don't know why. If you go to Ireland, not now, but before, they used to kill each other, Protestant and what? The dialectic. And he said, look, we have to secularize the Catholic Church. We have to help the poor. Have you ever heard someone in the White House talking about helping the poor? What is Obamacare about? Obamacare is what? The distribution of what? Of wealth. What is distribution of wealth? If you got money, you got to give it up. He doesn't have much. You got to give it to him. How will you feel? Come on, tell me. If you got $1 million, he doesn't have anything because he was maybe careless and he didn't care about himself. And now I'm telling you that you got to give him $100,000. How will you feel? Of course. Because you sweat. You sweat. And that's what everything is about now. You see, because we have to make everybody what? Even. Do you understand? Okay, I'm almost done, folks. So, we have to, what? Reunification among the separate churches. We got to get them in here. The Jews, the Muslims, Buddhists, Shintoists, animists, non-religious people. We got to get them in. Ek pluribus unum. We are one. Folks, even we have to talk about our human interests. Have you ever heard of the liberation of theology? That was back in the 80s, back in South America. What happened was the Jesuit orders saw that and they started just, you know, getting angry. And I remember that even when I was a kid, I don't know, I was younger than that my son, down in the Dominican Republic, the students over there used to chant, "Si los Yankees no se van, en Quisqueya morirán." If the Yankees don't go away, they'll die in Quisqueya. Because everything was anti-what? Because remember, the Protestant church, I mean the Protestant countries, had what? Money. Look at Germany. Look at the United States. In all the Protestant countries, they had the money. Because they grew, because the mind, what? Opened. Now, the Pope said, hey, you got to give some of that money to whom? To the have-not. Everything is a game. Okay? So, now, even, we have to give a chance. They talked about abortion. The same thing. Divorce. I got to read this to you. Where is it? I bought this book in 1998. And it's called The New World Order. I haven't had this ever since. And I say, you know, it's good to keep them. Listen to this. The New World Order will include changes in the family. Do we hear change in the family? Homosexual marriages will be legalized. Parents will not be allowed to raise their children. The state will. The workplace. It's called The New World Order by Ralph Epperson. Changes in the workplace. The government will become the owner of the factors of production. Private ownership of property will be what? Outlaw. In religion will be outlaw, and believers will be either eliminated or imprisoned. There will be a new religion, the worship of man and the mind. You know what? I'm going to stop here. I think we had enough. Folks, I really hope that you understand the peril that we are in. I really hope that from now on, and I apply this to myself, that we pray more, that we study those Ellen G. White books, that we study history, and not only that, that you have the responsibility, and I have the responsibility, to take this message to the people so they can open their eyes. When I was down in the Dominican Republic, I went there in 1999 for one whole year. It was a beautiful. When I was there, and I, man, it's always 75 degrees over here, and it's not going to get cold. I used to get scared because I thought, I used to talk about this stuff. There was a pastor who didn't like what I used to preach. And I started a campaign in a rural area. Very nice people. And it was always filled with a lot of people. And one day he came and he told me, I already had 3 days. And it was always packed. And he told me, the conference says you cannot do this anymore. I said, what? But how come? No, you cannot do it anymore. But they don't even know me. You know, I went to the conference. I went to the conference to ask, look, I'm doing, what, how come? I don't know who you are. They told me that. I don't know. We didn't say that to the pastor. He made it up. Now, a few days after that, he was riding his motorcycle. Because, again, he didn't want me to talk about that, and he definitely would not talk about that. He was riding his motorcycle. He fell. And his 4 teeth fell from his mouth. He was toothless now. He couldn't speak the way Do you get the point? You and I have a responsibility. Let the result, let the consequences for God to carry. Because he says in Isaiah chapter 26, the last verses, come into my room. Come into my habitation. Because I'm going to take care of you. How many of you will study with your daughters and sons and give them what they really need in order to survive out there? How many of you would like to say, no, I'm going to do whatever I can in order to help my sons and daughters and whomever to know this truth? How many of you would like to say that? Glory to God. Let's stand up and let's have a prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, I know I said a lot. And I hope that what I said here did not hurt anybody's feelings. On the contrary, I want to grow in you. And I want to be in heaven when you come. I want to let people know the danger of the prostitute. I don't want them to fall in the pit. And some of us here, almost all of us, raise our hand to do what we have to do to warn the people about the danger that's coming. Lord Heavenly Father, please bless us. Please give us the wording. Please give us the courage to talk about these things. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.